In Europe, a new political movement is built around a single issue, internet privacy. The standard bearer is the Pirate Party, which has a seat in the European Parliament. The party was founded several years ago in Sweden, one of the most wired nations on the planet, and is now spreading to other countries. Jerome Sokolowski has this story from a Pirate Party meeting.
These pirates certainly do not seem as fearsome as the buccaneers of old. In the dark cellar of a medieval building in the Gamla Stan, Stockholm's old town, their pale faces are lit up by laptop screens as they surf the internet during a meeting of the local chapter of the Pirate Party. Jonathan Reeder is a 21-year-old member.
I am in the party because I see a dangerous path that this country is following with its laws.
There are two laws in particular that he objects to. One, passed last year, lets Swedish authorities monitor phone, fax, and email traffic crossing the country's borders. The other, a European Union directive adopted in April, allows copyright holders to find out the internet addresses of file sharers. The same month, a court sentenced owners of the Swedish file-sharing site Pirate Bay to a year in jail and millions of dollars in fines. Jonathan Reeder believes that civil liberties are under attack in Sweden.
The average citizen means less and less for the government, who listens mostly to the money that corporations are giving them.
The Pirate Party wants to reform copyright law, abolish all patents, and protect privacy on the internet. Combining these issues has been a very successful formula. In June, Sweden held an election for deputies to the European Parliament. It was the party's first electoral test. It won a seat and took more than 7% of the vote. Its youth wing is now the biggest of any Swedish political party. Outside the meeting, party leader Rick Falkvinge says copyright reform and privacy are two sides of the same coin.
We're talking about something that can be described as civil liberties 2.0.
Falkvinge is a former computer entrepreneur. He says he founded the party because he felt Swedish political leaders were turning their country into a surveillance society.
When somebody wants to shut down your right to communicate in private, be it for the fact that that right can be used to communicate copyrighted works beyond the radar of the record labels, or the fact that government wants to eavesdrop on anybody and everything just to have some sort of semblance of control of what the population is up to. Young people, in particular today, take offense to that.
It's a complex debate with some paradoxes. Swedes say the right to privacy is sacred, yet the country prides itself on an openness that makes much personal information public. By law, a citizen can find out how much another person earns. And there are plenty of people who have their reservations about the Pirate Party. Sergels Torg Square is a hub of cultural and commercial life in Stockholm. Fiction editor Håkan Josefsson has just bought tickets at the Kulturhuset Art Center here. He rejects the pirates and says their motivation is not about lofty principles.
It's about that people want everything for free. Nobody wants to pay if they can't get something for free.
Another visitor to the Art Center is Siglin Dunge. She says that by talking about civil liberties, the party lets file sharers have a clear conscience.
Because I think very much young people agree with them and think that because they say so, then you can do it.
Back at the party meeting, members are euphoric that pirate parties are now springing up around the world. In Germany, the party has gained some city council seats, and branches exist or are being set up in dozens of other countries. But here in Sweden, opponents predict the Pirate Party will soon sink out of sight now that many establishment parties are incorporating elements of its platform into their own. For NPR News, I'm Jerome Sokolowski in Stockholm.